afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us. You know how this goes. I have Rodrigo Costa, the CEO, Gonçalo Soares, CFO, and João Conceição, our COO, ready to answer your questions after Rodrigo does his introductory speech, and then Gonçalo goes through the presentation. And as usual, we're open to the questions you may have. Rodrigo?
Thank you, Ana. Good afternoon, all. Here we are to talk about our results and, of course, a few more things that came up today. We had a regular quarter and no major news to report, being the numbers expected by most of you. EBITDA was slightly lower than last year, which was expected given the lower returns and the lower RAB. Financial costs and net debt were lower than last year and probably a little better than most of you were expecting. The activity of the company is still being affected by the COVID situation, not so much CapEx, but particularly transfers to RAB that were higher than in the first half of 2020, but still lower than normal. And in the coming months, we will recover most of the delays. That's our expectation. We successfully issued our first green bond, and that was welcomed by the market. Following April's general shareholder meeting, we announced at the Capital Markets Day our strategic options, including our ESG commitments. As most of the energy companies, we are embracing the energy transition mission, where we see ourselves as a very important catalyst. And in Portugal, that's the case. Actually, in what concerns the efforts towards a greener world, we already signed 14 bilateral agreements to connect new solar farms to the grid with a total installed capacity of 3.5 gigawatts. Also, as announced at the Capital Market Day, we are committed to cut 50% of our emissions until 2030 and become carbon neutral by 2040. Service quality is at stellar levels in both electricity and gas, and where our interruption times are basically none. These numbers happen at a time when 68% of consumption was served by renewable energies, which represents a daily challenge, but we believe REN will continue to overcome. I take this opportunity to tell you that we have updated the investor app introduced in 2016. It gives you information about the market performance, the financial data, and other relevant information. I would encourage you to check it out and tell us what you think. We also launched REN's Data Hub, a platform that aggregates and makes available in a live format quantitative data and on the national energy sector. The information is made available in open data, and the site allows for a greater segmentation, such as the breakdown of production by primary source and the inputs and outputs of transmission networks. You know, for the ones who need to have more concrete vision of our detailed data, it's also a great new source of information. Well, I'm sure you have questions about the technical challenges that we faced last week, as well about our new investor. I will leave that to later. And now I would ask Gonçalo to take the lead.
Thank you, Rodrigo. Hi, everybody. So we can go straight to slide number 4 with the key messages. So the EBITDA was 127.9, dropped close to 4%. As Rodrigo was saying, this was basically expected by us, and this is resulting from the reduction in remuneration, both from a decrease in the asset base and in the rate of return, which we already knew was going to happen. There's also a little bit more pressure in terms of cost that I'll go into. On the international business, we're expecting a small reduction versus last year, and so that's still materializing. It's a small decrease in terms of the group, but it's still a small decrease. In terms of net profit, close to 40 million. And this is on the back of good financial results that keep improving, and also a slightly lower energy level that we already had in the first quarter. CapEx is growing, and again, I'll go into a little bit more of that, but it's giving good signals and positive signals to a strong full-year performance in terms of CapEx and transfers to RAB. And as Rodrigo said, in terms of renewables, we had a very good first half, with more than 68% being supplied by renewables in terms of consumption and quality of service above par. The green bond issue and the capital markets day were done in this quarter, but it has been so much has happened since then that it seems that it was done a long time ago, but it was still done in this quarter. I'm going now to pass to João Conceição, that will give you some highlights on the operating side. João?
Thanks, Gonçalo. Good afternoon to you all. Well, jumping into slide 5, you have an overall picture of what happened in issues that link directly to us. And all of them, they are basically a reflection of the energy transition process that's going on in Portugal. Besides the point that Rodrigo mentioned in his introduction, where we signed the first 14 direct agreements with solar generators, which will bring in the next 5 to 6 years 3.5 gigawatts of new capacity. We had the public consultation launched by the regulator for the new regulatory period. Basically, a couple of issues that were expected, like the extension to 4 years regulatory period, as well as a move forward in terms of the regulation, as the regulator is proposing a change into the TOTEX model regulation. Basically, this is something new, which we don't know yet so much detail about the parameters or the formulas, but only about the guidelines. Having said that, the justification and it's that this model will bring a more flexible possibility to the operators to operate this energy transition move. Additionally, in terms of the investment plans, we got the public consultation on the investment plans for the transmission activity, both electricity and natural gas. This has been closed already. We are waiting for the opinion from the regulator. In the meantime, we got the public opinion of the regulator regarding the gas distribution network development plans, the ones that were in public consultation last year. And basically, the big message is that the regulator considers that the investments proposed by the different distribution networks, including our Portgas network, does not impact a tariff increase, which implicitly signals good news for the late approval of these plans by the government. There was some auctions regarding the capacity of send out of the terminal, as well as electricity auctions for supplying energy to the last resort supplier, which did not bring any news, no specific news, but confirm this energy transition move. Jumping into slide 7, you have the major indicators on operational perspective. In terms of consumption, we clearly see an increase of consumption, both of electricity and natural gas, 3.2% on the electricity side, 5% on the natural gas side. Still, these are levels slightly below what we were used to by 2019. So you clearly see a reflection on the increase of consumption after the decrease due to the COVID-19 impact. But we are still not at the levels that we were before this pandemic lockdown and additional effects. In terms of quality of service, as it was already mentioned, we kept a very high level of quality of service. Last Saturday, we had an incident in the Iberian grid, which luckily was solved with some cuts on some specific consumers, but it the most important message, it was avoided an overall blackout in the whole system. And with that, I move back to Gonçalo.
So the next slide is basically the main indicators in terms of financial highlights. I think I will skip that and move to slide number 9 directly. So what we see here is the basic components of EBIT evolution. So it's coming down around 4%, very close to what it was trending on the first quarter. It was coming down around 3.8%. And it's basically these three items. So it's basically RAB remuneration, the OPEX contribution, and a little bit the international segment also. In terms of segments, you basically see that electricity is gaining a little bit of ground and gas is decreasing slightly, but I would say that no major change. Slide number 10, and moving to RAB remuneration, you see the evolution of the rates. The same comments of the first quarter apply, so you see some kind of stability now in the last few years, in the last few months, so a little bit of change, but more stability. Rates are basically at the floor. They are not. We are here, the numbers are rounded, but it's basically 452 in one case and 451 in the other one. So 452 in gas and 451. So basically the floor. And they are only slightly below what they were last year. In terms of CapEx evolution, and here I want to sound a little bit more positive. Last quarter was still early on, and although you see good evolutions versus last year, but it's still early, but what we are getting is positive signs from João's investment areas. Things are going well. We still have a little bit of delays in one or another project, but we do feel confident that we are going to deliver strong CapEx numbers. We are going to deliver strong transfers to RAB numbers this year. We know that we were compensating also for other things that were coming from last year, but I think that this is clearly in line with what we said and perhaps even a little bit ahead of what we said. So it all depends on the weather and how we are able to construct in the final months of the year, but everything seems to be going pretty well. It's still very difficult. I'm not saying this because it's easy to do. It's still very difficult, but it seems that everything is going in the right direction in terms of transfers to RAB and in terms of gas distribution. Okay. Which then translates, so now in terms of evolution of RAB, you don't see that yet because transfers to RAB are very limited. Last year were also very limited. And so you see this trend of decreasing evolution all across the board in terms of all of the elements of the asset base. We hope to see this start to invert next quarter already in electricity, where we should have some projects already being transferred to the asset base and then consolidating in the last quarter as usual. In slide 13, and looking at the return, what we see is the same kind of trend between both electricity and gas transmission. So we see a pressure and a decrease in terms of the asset base. And we also see a little bit of decrease coming from the rate of return, which is, I'd say, lower in terms of asset base and gas distribution that has been maintaining in the asset base pretty stable. In terms of OPEX, and in this quarter, we still continue to see a little bit of pressure with some costs. Versus last quarter, what we saw, and as we had said, is that the forest cleaning OPEX would stabilize, which it has. So it's basically stabilized versus last year, which was what we expected. There are some, I'd say, non-recurrent costs that we have in this quarter relating to the business plan. And that are not going to be repeated. There's a couple of other costs that are higher in a more, it's not structural, but normal way. One is insurance costs. It already was coming from last quarter. It continues. It's a trend in the market. So I'd say most of the companies are reporting higher insurance costs. We also have that issue. And in our case, there's also higher electricity costs in the Finnish terminal. unlike the other parts of our installations, of our buildings, electricity is driven by wholesale price, which is something that allows it because there's a very high concentration of consumption there. But this year, as you know, wholesale prices have been higher, and so the cost of electricity there is also a little bit higher than we had anticipated, and I think everybody had anticipated. I still think that in terms of evolution, this is going to be better in the next few quarters. So we were expecting costs to increase a little bit this year, but I think we will probably see things improve a little bit up until the end of the year in terms of evolution of the core OPEX. Okay. So in terms of the international business and in Chile, starting to say that politically, we think that the news that came about in the last month was mostly positive. It seems that the candidates going to election are broadly more in the center rather than the extremist parts of the spectrum, which is good. And that's more in a structural way in terms of the companies. So Transamel transition is basically done. We are wrapping up a few things in the next couple of months and that will be done. But there is, I'd say, more than anticipated delays in some construction due to COVID. It's something that also happened to us last year here is happening there. And that has a little bit of impact since these are very small operations with very small numbers. A little bit of a 6-month delay in the construction sometimes puts a little bit more pressure. But I'd say it's nothing structurally moving forward. It's a delay of receiving. It's just an NPV because we'll still receive the money, but we'll start receiving a little bit later. In terms of Electrogas, there is a decrease versus last year, similar to first quarter. We already knew because we have and one specific contract that was ending this year. We knew that this was happening. There are other contracts, smaller ones that are going to start this year and other next year that will compensate for this. But this year we'll see a little bit more of pressure in Electrogas. But I'd say, again, in terms of operations, everything is kind of stable, and at the end of the day, the international part is still a very small part of the overall picture of the company. Moving to the financial costs and taxes and the low EBITDA. So in terms of financial results, we still continue to see a small improvement in terms of cost of debt, so it's around 1.6% now. We do not anticipate this to get better. As I already said, we thought that this should probably be here a little bit above, but around this number up until the end of the year. So this is what we are anticipating. In terms of net debt, I'll comment in a little while how we see that evolution. In terms of taxes, the extraordinary tax comes from the first quarter. You already knew the numbers. There are absolutely no news or no new news about this, so there's no elements that we have that we can tell you that change relating to the special levy. So we are still expecting this number for this year. Okay. In terms of effective tax rate, it's a little bit better than anticipating because we are recuperating some old taxes from previous years. But since this is at a level lower than last year, so last year by now we have an effective tax rate around 23%, a little bit below that. We are now close to 26%. What you should expect as a normal tax rate is around 28%, so this gives you an idea of where we are, but I'd say that this, again, was kind of in line with what we expected. So, in slide 17 is just a consolidation in terms of net profit, nothing much to have, and we do believe that this, again, this trend will invert a little bit until the end of the year. Looking at slide 18 and talking about net debt, what you see here is net debt going down by around 200 million, This is even a little bit higher than we had in the first quarter. What you see is that it's basically being driven down by the evolution of tariff deviations. And this evolution is even slightly more negative now than it was in the first quarter. This is mainly driven by slightly higher negative deviations in gas. As I explained in the first quarter, this derived from an option that we have of capacity in the terminal. And this is something that we will, up until, I'd say, around October, feel a positive impact in terms of negative deviations, and then it should start to be compensated backwards and will start to become then come down. Looking forward and up until the end of the year, I would say that this tariff deviation variation should be smaller in terms of negative trends. The CapEx number is going to increase quite a bit, so I would expect that the, although we do expect net debt to come down, I don't know if it's, I'd say, like 50, 75, something, it should come down at the end of the year clearly, and I'm probably being slightly conservative. It's not going to be coming down to 100 million, as I say, we are going to be spending more CapEx, and so we'll probably decrease this variation. Okay, but we should have, I'd say, still the material decrease in terms of net debt in the end of the year. Okay. I think this covers basically most of the points in terms of financial costs that we have, and we can go to Q&A, and I think we can address some of the other questions you have. Okay, thank you.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. And as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Okay, we will now take our first question. And our first question comes in the line of George Gumarais from JB Capital. Your line is now open.
Hey, good afternoon. Since I'll be the first one asking the questions, I'll take the opportunity to ask, what is your view about the change announced today in shareholder structure? And if you expect any different approach of the new shareholder in the management of the company, and if you expect him to name a board seat, that would be the first one. And the second one is related to the problems in the network, in the grid last Saturday. Do you expect that based on these, you could ask the government for more investments, or because the scare, as far as I understood in Portugal, was not so relevant. So, but even so, do you believe that this could be a good opportunity to try to get more investment, allow the revenues and the investment from the government? Thank you very much.
Well, we were on mute. I start again. I start with the questions and then I'll move to João. On the shareholder structure, we just announced the transaction. It was communicated this morning to us. We have a positive view on the transaction. It's a good shareholder. They have a fantastic reputation. They care about a lot of the same things we also do. You know, they are here for the long term. That's their philosophy of investment. That's exactly what they announced when they did investment with Enagás, with Rede Elétrica, and it's the same with us. And good expectation, I think, is it's a shareholder that any public traded company would like to have. We like to believe they invested with us because they trust the company and the management of the company, and we will see. We will go from there. I think they are very welcome as a shareholder, and the board discussions didn't start yet, but it's a relevant shareholder. I am sure they will be welcome to the board if that's their desire. we will see. But we see everything being positive, and it's great that we are able to attract such quality investors to our company and to our country. This is not just about REN, it's also about Portugal. On the second one, you know, I João will provide more detail, but I cannot resist that, you know, when we have these type of situations, and we are able to solve them because we are able to solve them with the current capacity and the engineering that we have, it's not the right moment to ask for, you know, extra investments. You know, that's not how we look to these type of situations. But João can describe a little bit.
Thanks, Rodrigo. Complementing what Rodrigo said, I think that this incident came to demonstrate that security of supply is not 100% granted, even in the most developed electrical systems like the one in Spain or in Portugal. Having said that, we are not going to change our investment plans. We always do our investment plans based on what we believe are the needs for the system in terms of security of supply, in terms of market development, renewables integration, digitalization, and so on. And the only thing we find this useful is that people and the most relevant stakeholders, now they may understand that when we say there is a need for investment X or investment Y, we are not just overloading of CapEx, but we are saying what we believe are the actual needs of the system.
Okay, many thanks.
Okay, we will now take our next question. And our next question comes from the line of Jacopo Bismara from Mediobanca. Your line is now open.
Yes, many thanks. Good afternoon. So I got one question on CapEx, and it is if you can provide an update on your investment related to hydrogen and in general on the hydrogen opportunity. My thanks.
Well, thanks for the question. In terms of hydrogen, we keep to what we presented last March in terms of investment plans when we present our investment plans to the regulator. Basically, what we foresee is an overall investment around 40 million on the immediate upgrades that are required in terms of the backbone as well as the underground storage to cope with the goal that Portugal has established to incorporate 5% by 2025 and 10 to 15% by 2030. So this is the goal we have now. Of course, we keep evaluating what's going to happen on the medium term. And when we speak medium term, we speak on the second half of this decade, where we obviously will analyze if we should go upwards in terms of investments to develop the hydrogen incorporation in the energy mix.
Got it. Many thanks.
Okay, once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. And our next question comes from the line of Antonio Celadas from AS Independence. Your line is now open.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. So actually, it's just one question. If you can explain a little bit better, or if you can provide share with us the TOTEX approach by the regulator, what it could mean in terms of the remuneration of the assets. Basically, if you can provide more information about it, and what it can mean in terms of assets, more assets to be remunerated or not.
Well, thanks for the question. We cannot provide a very detailed information because what we know so far are the general guidelines that the regulator put into public consultation. There is much still to be defined from the regulator. We are interacting with them on a regular basis. We are having several meetings planned in order to detail this move in from CapEx in OpEx to TOTEX. But basically, what we can say right now is that, in a nutshell, what they plan is to merge these two worlds, the regulatory treatment of the CapEx and the regulatory treatment of the OPEX in one single regulated revenues with some variables, with some trends for the future, and so on. Why? Because they say that in a model that in the sector that is becoming more and more complex with different issues in terms of choices on the type of CapEx that you should do, in the time that you should do this CapEx, if you should pay more attention to the OPEX side, they believe from the regulator side that it's time to give some flexibility to the operators so that they can choose the best way to optimize the network and, of course, to optimize the costs and the revenues. One other point that has been told to us, which we believe to be positive, is that the regulator plans to do this as a symmetric model between us, the regulated companies, and consumers. So there is not an issue here. If there is something good, all the upside goes to one part or the other, but they want to have symmetrical rules so that the good news are shared symmetrically, and if something goes less good, this is also shared symmetrically between the two parts, the regulated companies and the consumers.
Okay, so but if I understand well, it means that your assets, your regulated assets, if the regulated assets move to the TOTEX plan, to TOTEX methodology, it means that the assets will increase. I'm saying right, yes or not? Yes, I'm saying right. Because you are.
Yes, yes, you are. I mean, they are not. So they are not. You are right. Sorry to interrupt you. The regulator does not plan to do a delete of what is our RAB, our regulated asset base, the historical RAB, the incentives that we got so far. And they don't want also to forget that the RAB is going to evolve following the investment plans that are being proposed. So, yes, the RAB will evolve with the normal investments that we are foreseeing to do in the next 4 years period.
Yeah,
I don't know if I have a question.
No, but besides that, the OPEX will be also added to the asset base or not?
Yes,
okay.
Of course. I mean, they are not also to forget the OPEX. But overall, this is as much as we know. As I mentioned, what we know so far are the general guidelines. There is much to be detailed in the parameters, in the formulas, and so on. The most important message that we got from the regulator, and I think it answers a little bit your question, is that everyone is interested in maintaining the stability of the economic models that the regulated companies are under, as well as the stability on the tariff side.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much. So it seems positive, but yeah, okay, thank you very much.
Okay, once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one.
Well, just to finish the call, I think we end up this first semester with these big change in terms of ownership, which I think is positive, not just in the sense that the new investor is good, but also a shareholder that was very important for us for a long time. But once they took the decision of divesting, I think it was good to reach a conclusion, and now things are moving on with the usual stability. We also are looking to the months ahead. With the same confidence in terms in both in technical terms, finance terms, we feel good about just everything. We have a big effort going on in terms of the energy transition. We mentioned that a couple of times. Gonçalo went through that, and João also. When we talk about the hydrogen, when we talk about solar. There's a lot of projects, there's a lot of pressure to speed up things. Of course, we have to rely on suppliers, some of them international suppliers. There is demand everywhere, but it's a good problem to manage. It is now a question of making sure we have the capacity to develop the projects, and we have the capacity to deliver also the construction. Which I'm sure we will, and I think this all in all, we are quite positive regarding the coming months. And the only thing that we really do not control is the COVID situation. That it got better, it got worse. Now it's getting better again. Yesterday we had a lot of communication from the government with the new rules. We also have a good internal sample because we have people spread all over the country, and we know what's going on, and we feel that things are getting under control again, and that's very, very important for all of us. And this is it. Well, I wish you all a good break, if that's the case, and we will keep in touch.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Sure.
See you soon.